Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Campus Conservative. My name is Robert Sasso. For us at Lone Conservative, we've been very busy covering the Berkeley Madness like the rest of the movement. We hope you've been enjoying the coverage, but nevertheless, we're going to hop right into it with my next guest. Her tweets range from politics to anything college football, and her puppies, Sammy and Louie, are cuter than Tucker. Cassie, I was asked to say that. That is not me giving that opinion. I am describing the one and only Amanda Kemp. Amanda, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing well myself, thank you. So we're going to hop right into it. Today's agenda will range from gay conservatives, do I even have the right to talk on this topic, politics and sports, preferably the lack thereof, and those pesky liberal professors on college campuses. So let's dig right in. So Amanda, the first article you wrote for Lone Conservative, you are a new contributor here, by the way, so congrats on that. You talked about your sexual orientation as well as your political position, which are an oxymoron kind of in today's political climate. So describe to me how that started. How come you are a gay conservative? That doesn't seem right to me. I don't know about you. That just doesn't hit me home because I don't hear a lot about that story.
Right. Well, I definitely formed my political opinions and values before I realized my own sexuality. And I wasn't about to let my sexuality get in the way of me becoming a being a active conservative.
Well, I think that's a very good stance to have. I think with a lot of gay people, especially just the LGBT community broadly, I think that there's a lot of virtue signaling when it comes to the GOP. I know with Trump, even, they've been hitting him relentlessly on his homophobic behavior, whatever they want to say. And he is the first president to ever be inaugurated supporting gay rights, and he's the gay marriage. More specifically, because I know that'll be fact-checked to no end, he also held up the LGBT rainbow flag before one of his rallies, and I think that's an image that a lot of Republicans aren't used to seeing, and I think that it changes the game because it changes the narrative, like you said, that conservatives aren't allowed to be gay. That's like one of the rules for the left. You have to be a straight white male to be a conservative, and I think you buck the trend because not only are you female, you're also gay. I don't think that really defines you as much, and that's kind of where I want to go next. Do you think that in conservative circles, people really haven't cared if it even come up that you were a gay?
Absolutely not. I've a couple of my coworkers who are part of the LGBT community have shunned me for becoming an openly gay conservative more than my group that I hang out with on campus, who has accepted me way more than my coworkers ever could have. It's kind of insane the difference that a political difference can have on different groups of people that you hang out with.
I think that's you hit it right on the nose there, because I feel that the differences we would have would not be based on our sexual orientation. I think our differences would be that you're from Northern Georgia, you'd get mad that I call pecan pie, I don't say it right, I'm guessing. I also am not a big fan of college football. I know that's huge in the South. I think that our differences would be more along those cultural lines of Northern and Southern ideals. I don't think that our differences come from basically who we prefer to love in our lives, and I think that's one thing that you've mentioned a bunch of times, because a quote that I find really concerning, not because it's alarming, but because it just changes the whole narrative, is that the beginning of a paragraph you opened with, "I had more trouble telling other LGBT citizens that I'm a conservative than I did telling my pastor I'm gay." Please explain that, because that's a shock to the mind right there.
Well, I go to a fairly large church, actually, so interactions with pastors is limited unless you like really have time to meet with them, but I did. And I just kind of, I didn't know how to put it really to him, because I didn't know how he was going to react. But I just told him straight up, and he looked at me straight in the face, and he's like, "I will pray no matter what for you and your journeys. I'm not going to judge you, because, you know, God teaches us not to judge." And I think that's very important, because liberals do hate also on Christians a lot, but it's kind of ironic in a way that they're hating, even though Christianity teaches not to hate and love thy neighbor. So it was a relief, honestly, more than anything, to hear that from him.
I think you hit right home when it comes to religion, because I think the lesson that liberals take from religion, mainly secular people, more broadly than liberals, is that they see the quotes calling gay marriage abomination and stuff like that. I really just see the quotes in the passages of the Bible that say, love thy neighbor the way that you would love thyself, because it's basically those kind of quotes that are really the message. It's just treat everyone the same way you want to be treated. It has nothing to do with their orientation. I don't think Jesus ever really treated anyone any differently because of who they are. I think he gave everyone the respect and dignity they deserved because they were God's creation. I think that's something you see on the conservative side, especially since the left has just been so enraged and so vicious that basically conservatives have basically made these coalitions with people that they never used to, because they were like, listen, if we have to support these people, not because we hate them and we don't want to support them, but because they weren't originally part of our group, but if we're going to support them anyway, because we don't want these people to feel alienated by both sides of the argument. And I think that you being accepted by a lot of conservatives, or basically all conservatives, like you said, is very welcoming to the movement, because I really haven't experienced anyone getting shut out for being conservative in my circles. I think that I know all my groups would be accepting of anyone. I know low conservative is acceptable of anyone. So I don't think you have to worry about that on the right. But on the left, you see people on Twitter, you mentioned, there's a bunch of people in the article you mentioned, Loud Republican, Gay Republican Swag, and Sassy Gay Republican. I follow them on Twitter after I read your article, and they get a lot of hate. I mean, they're fairly provocative themselves, but they do receive a brunt of the force. And can you comment on that? Because I know that a lot of leftists are loud online, and they can be probably fairly rude if you were to tweet anything about your views and your positions on issues.
Oh, absolutely. Those three guys that I mentioned in my article, I looked into a lot of their tweets, and just looking at the responses that they get from just claiming to be a gay conservative, but any tweet about being a gay conservative, they receive backlash. And I can, you know, sometimes you can never tell. Those might just be trolls. But, you know, they just receive a lot of hate, and it's crazy. It's just, it's completely ironic and hypocritical for the left to be hating an openly gay person on their political ideology. And those guys, they take it and they argue with them back. They argue back with these different liberal commenters, and it's just crazy how much hate they get.
Definitely. I mean, even when you look at other issues that liberals tend to take the moral high ground on in their own minds, is with feminism. I don't know if you saw this, but Sarah Huckabee Sanders went on The View, and Mike Huckabee went on as well, and Joy Behar had the gall to ask her father, how dare you let her go out there and defend Trump? If Mike Huckabee was thinking, he would have said, how dare you tell me that I have to control my daughter? Aren't you supposed to be a feminist? Isn't this 2017? And it just translates to all these issues that the left will change their stance in a heartbeat if it means it's going to hit you over the head with a club of their tolerance, because they think that you should be a beacon of tolerance on their side. You should be a Southerner who goes to church, but she's a gay liberal, and that's the way it's supposed to work. But no, you're the opposite. You go to church, like you said, you talk to your pastor, and you're still a gay conservative, and that just doesn't work for them. I know it makes them very uncomfortable, and you mentioned people trying to bully you in the article because of your ideology. Has that bothered you at all since you've gone to college?
College? Actually, no. Not a whole lot of people at my school have argued with me about being a gay conservative. It's more of a personal group that I used to hang out with that was really bothered whenever I came out to them as this gay conservative. They straight up told me. They were like, I told them and they said, there's no way you can be gay because you are a conservative. And it made no sense to me, you know. But yeah, needless to say, I don't exactly hang out with them anymore because they can't accept my political views. It's kind of nonsense, but hey.
You did mention in the article, I mean, it really, it doesn't make sense if you think about it. I mean, just because you're gay, you have to like redistributing people's money. I don't really see the two correlations there. I mean, the like you said, you mentioned liberty and individualism in that little paragraph, and I think that just hits a nail right on the head because I think even 10 years ago, this conversation might not have been possible because maybe you just would have felt so alienated from the right. But in 2017, you just had that option where you can come over because the right will accept anyone into their arms openly because at this point, it's just getting people on the side of liberty, like you said, getting people who want to say and feel the way they please and not have anyone force them to act in a certain way. And I feel as though you're telling me this and it's just coming off as they're forcing you to be leftist, be liberal, because they think it conforms to their agenda. And I think that you and all the other gay conservatives out there, whether they be closeted in that sense or not, they have to deal with reparations, they'll face the anger they'll face when they come out as conservative. And I think that's crazy. I think you'd probably remember this better because it would hit home for you, but there was an article written back in like January where someone said in New York it was harder for them to come out as conservative than come out as gay. I remember that article just went viral on the right. I don't know if you remember it or not, but if you did read it, was there any reaction to it? And if you didn't, just how would that story confirm what you've felt all your life as a conservative?
It's totally ironic and hypocritical. It shouldn't, like I put, I don't know how many times I wrote it. Your political ideology should not matter with, should not have any correlation with your sexuality. Being your political ideology is your values that you cherish in, politically, as well as your opinion. You know, it's not, it should have absolutely no correlation with who you're going to marry in the future or date. It's completely hypocritical and crazy.
I agree because I don't really understand the correlation. I mean, I know the left likes to make this whole hullabaloo about the fact that everyone on their side's tolerant and that they have to take all the LGBT community in and support them because you know what? No one on the right's going to do it because they don't, because the right supports religious freedom, what they would put in air quotes and say, oh, their religious freedom just means that, Christian bakers just don't have to worry about baking cakes for gay weddings because they hate them. And that's, they just don't understand the argument that comes from the right. They just don't understand how making sure that you create a policy that's virtue signaling to LGBT doesn't mean that everyone who disagrees with it hates LGBT. It's really, disgusting political gamesmanship. And I think, a way to end this would be for me to ask you, going forward, do you think the right is treating gays in their movement correctly, or do you feel that there's still work to be done on the conservative movement to let gays into and feel welcome?
I think they're on a very, very good path. And it has a lot to do with also, like, people my age, our age, you know, the millennials. They are conservative or not, they are very, very accepting of the gay community. And I've realized that through just making friends and meeting people online and all sorts of stuff. They're just more open, I guess, to the gay community. The left, I guess, is a little just angry that they're not getting their way. And more, I think more of the LGBT community is realizing that the left is kind of traumatic. They're forcing their beliefs and their political views on these gay conservatives. And I think there are a lot of, like, not closeted gay, but like closeted gay conservatives. Like, I think more people will soon realize that the conservative movement is the right movement to be if you are gay or bi or whatnot. So I think the future looks bright for the conservative party and whenever it comes to the gay community.
Now, I said I was going to end it, but I do have one more question because this one has been on my mind forever and I just have to have it answered because a lot of it's nothing like personal. Just, when it comes to the LGBT community, they have a lot of pride parades. Now, I was always wondering from a gay conservative stance, what is your stance on pride parades? Personally, I think that, having pride in your sexuality is the same as having pride if straight people would have a straight pride parade, and same thing if black people would have a black pride parade and people and white people were to have a white pride parade. I think it's really just like this kind of nationalistic, jingoistic feeling of our collective is better than your collective. What do you think on that? Am I right, or am I being discriminatory?
No, you're like hitting the nail on the head. You I have not gone to a pride parade yet, but there is one in October and I'm attending it to just kind of, my friend went and she said she had a lot of fun, so I'm like, I'm gonna go, I'm gonna try and figure out like what this is all about. I've heard good and bad things. But I agree. I understand maybe the first couple years the pride parades began because it was like a new thing. People were allowed to be themselves out in public and they had this big parade about it. But at this point, it's just gotten really old. There are plenty of gay bars that you can go to and gay clubs and hang out there with your friends. I don't think clogging the streets with your very open sexuality in front of children especially is necessary, but I'm gonna experience it for myself and see it full hand in October, so it should be interesting.
Well, that would be an awesome article idea coming up. I think that would be great. On the ground, gay conservative at a pride parade. I think the optics would be glorious, nothing short of glorious. So you heard it here first, a gay conservative at a pride parade full of leftists. So in the inevitable transition, which is probably going to be the worst one I've ever had, we're going to go from gay conservatives to sports. I think the way to go there is just marvelous. I think the segue is just perfect. But nevertheless, we move on. Politicization of sports. So a lesbian and a straight white male talking about sports right now. So can't get much better than this, campus conservative. So over the last year and a half, there's been a lot of politics in sports, especially with ESPN, which I don't know about you, but I've basically just stopped watching at this point because it's not even bearable. But to start, we have to go to the Colin Kaepernick fiasco. What was your whole take on that when that happened?
The first time I saw and heard about him kneeling for the pledge, of course, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, all right, fine, whatever. This guy's doing his little thing. And then it kind of spread and it got a lot of attention. And then, the tweets started happening and all the mean words and stuff and the hate on not only Kaepernick, but of course, like, it was because of the Black Lives Matter movement that was occurring at the time, and he was supporting them. But in all reality, kneeling during the pledges, just bashing the veterans that have risked their life for you. So it made no sense. The correlation to me didn't make any sense. And it's just escalated from there.
Now, for those non-sports fans out there, and for the people that just don't remember, it was an open secret at the time, if we're gonna go a week before this happened, that Colin Kaepernick was on the verge of getting cut because he had that huge contract. He just came off a Super Bowl trip a couple years prior. He was supposed to be the next great thing. Everyone loved him in Madden. He was unstoppable everywhere. He didn't know if he was running. He didn't know if he was passing. The year before, he set the playoff record for most playoff rushes in a game. Rushing yards for a QB in a game, and then he just fell off. He just had awful years. He got hurt. People designed defenses to stop him, and he just became ineffective. And it was basically his last week on the 49ers. They were getting ready to cut him because he was a big contract. He wasn't going to start. But then he did this. And as a sports fan, the first thing that came up in my mind was that he was doing this so he didn't want to get caught. And I think that people forget that when they talk about this. They think it's just the Black Lives Matter issue, but it really wasn't. But moving forward, it inspired a lot of other people around the league to do the same, and the NFL really didn't take a strong stance on it besides Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys. He basically told his players that they will get caught if they didn't stand. Do you think Jerry Jones was being too rough on his players and he should have just let them express their own views during the national anthem?
Well, after there was a lot of hate towards the NFL after Colin pulled all of his stunts, and so I think the Dal I think he was probably, there's the argument of freedom of speech in that, but I think he did the right move only, but it's kind of on a money, I guess on a money side. He was saying that if hit any of his players were to kneel and he would lose fans and sponsors, then he would lose a lot of money as well. So I think there's definitely a business plan within all of this drama that's going on in the NFL right now.
I ha would have to agree because when you look at polls from the time, people stopped watching the NFL because of these protests. Because 26% of people, it looks like the poll, this is a brand new one, were citing the protests as the reason they stopped watching. I know my father, who's a 49ers fan, stopped watching until the 49ers got rid of him because he just didn't want to deal with it. He didn't like that someone was taking such an anti-American stance. I mean, never forget he wore the socks the next practice with pigs as dressed as cops for socks. And a lot of people were offended by that because it really just confirmed his motives. It wasn't something about a peaceful protest. And I think the thing that the right was having a problem with is that no one that I know of argued that what he did was illegal or that he should be reprimanded for it. The problem was a moral question of don't do this because it's not the right thing to do. It has nothing to do with should he or should not he have done it legally. It's should he not done it morally. And I think that the left purposely, we talk about this on with the LGBT issue earlier. I mean, with here, they just purposely misconstrued it to make it seem like the right was just trying to bear down on him for expressing his own views in a legal sense. But I mean, you can explain this right now. I mean, that wasn't the case, right?
No, I don't think so. Not at all.
Yeah, I think it was a little unfair for the left to attribute the motive. But I mean, what else could you expect? Because they had to find a way to virtue signal some way. So you yourself, you mentioned in your Twitter bio, your tweets can range to college football. So as a college football fan or as a fan of sports in general, how has this affected your viewing pleasure of the game?
Well, luckily, and none of the college football teams that I enjoy watching have pulled any stunts like this. So college football is always, like, my go-to sport. I'm obsessed. but, you know, there's always the Robert Lee incident that honestly just makes me crack up. I could not stop laughing whenever I saw that they pulled an announcer named Robert Lee to not offend people who coincide that name with Robert E. Lee, the Confederate general. I couldn't stop laughing.
I mean, just you have to appreciate. I know a little bit about college football. I mean, you just have to appreciate the awesomeness of this happening. I mean, think about it. There's about 120. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. There's about 120 FBS teams that like the Division I teams that go for the bowls. So there's about 60 home games that week, and 60 home games across 50 states, basically, just to be rounding, because I don't have time to go specifically, but 50 states, and then you have any announcer with any name after the Charlottesville protest, and they put a guy, and just a guy named Robert Lee happened to get assigned to the game in Charlottesville, like, the week after a racist protest. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. I mean, when people say they're atheists, they just have no way of explaining that one to me, because that's just the greatest coincidence of all time, and the fact that someone leaked that, this happened, that they moved him because of this. I mean, just how glorious was this to you?
It was hilarious. I could, like, my middle name is Lee, and I remember tweeting out that I hope my professors don't kick me out of their classes because my middle name might offend them. It brings comedy to sports in a way.
I think that you hit the nail on the head, because I mean, you just it's just amazing how ESPN, I mean, they went out of their way. They're like, we just can't believe it came to this. I'm like, no one would have cared if you changed it. There might have been, I mean, the majority of, I mean, think about it. You as an LGBT conservative, you are still watching sports. That just proves that all the people who watch sports tend to lean heavily to the right. And most people wouldn't even care or wouldn't even know, because I know my view, but I'm pretty sure you're going to answer the same way. Do you watch sports to entertain yourself with politics and sports, or are you just looking for an escape from anything else?
An escape. Absolutely an escape. I enjoy my Saturday, a Saturday full of just college football and nothing else. No sports, no kneeling for the pledge, nothing. And I hope college football stays that way. I hope they don't go political.
I agree. When there's football games on, I'm just, you know, strapped in. I like watching the national anthem because there's normally a good performer. There's normally a nice flyover. That's always cool at the end there. And then I have ESPN Fantasy. I still use ESPN Fantasy because we just do. But still, ESPN Fantasy Cast is open and I'm tracking my fantasy sports all day. And I think that's just how many people like to live. Many people don't want to be bothered with it. Many people don't want to talk about how the Atlanta Braves say the American flag is a political symbol. I mean, maybe it's political in the sense that it's the United States, but it's our national symbol. It's what everyone's supposed to rally around the flag. And I think that How do you equate this to politics in the sense that people are trying to make the national flag during the American flag during the national anthem look like a political symbol? Do you think it kind of bodes poorly for the country that people want to call all sports fans racists and nationalists?
Absolutely. And that can turn into or go back into the LGBT community because they came up with the rainbow flag. Well, if sometimes people put the 50 states and then they do the rainbow and it's you literally just colored over an American flag. Like, are you really making a difference? You're just kind of bashing the flag that stands for the ones that risk their lives for us. And so to people shouldn't be looking at the American flag and then immediately thinking of hate. It's not what it stands for. It's never what it has stood for. So it's, especially to see people stomping on it as well and whatnot, that's just wrong. But to use it in this in like, they usually pull out that giant American flag while they're singing the national anthem on the football fields or baseball fields or whatever it is. And you should feel good seeing that. You shouldn't feel hate. And for people to politicize it as a hateful symbol is just so wrong.
I mean, that just hits the nail right on the head because, not to trivialize the national anthem, but before I played sports, we play it at the high school events, and before I go to all the baseball games I travel to, we play it. I mean, it's not to trivialize it, but I mean, really, you're just standing there. Normally they have a vet come out and hold the flag or raise the flag up. You clap for them. It's just a simple little thing you do. It's not like it's, I'm thinking small of it. It's a huge gesture that we celebrate our veterans at sporting events like this, but it's something that's not supposed to be major in a sporting event when you go there. It's really just supposed to be there because you do it to honor the country that allows you to play these sports, and then you get on with the game, which is the whole point of sports. And I think that when people have to fret the beginning of every sporting event being a political theatric event, it just drives you insane because there's nothing more annoying than when you're watching sports on TV and they pan to a player who's kneeling during the national anthem. It's like, are you kidding me? It's like, I don't want to see that. I want to see people standing. I want to see the flag waving. You want to see people in the stands singing along. It's that kind of stuff that just makes you happy to be an American. I think that that's just the next question. I mean, do you think the left just has to find a way to suck the joy out of everything?
Yes, literally everything. Apparently, I'm not even allowed to be gay, so there's that. I think I said earlier, they're losing so much and they're losing so much support that I don't think they know what to do with themselves.
I think that's a great point. I think when it comes to the culture, the left has a stronghold, but I mean, they're ceding ground in the places where they shouldn't have even started a battle when it comes to the national anthem, when it comes to just these symbols, like even the Confederate statues. I mean, they're just ceding ground to the right, basically, on these stances. It's basically becoming a left-right issue whether you support the national anthem or whether you stand for it. And I think that's an awful thing for the left to do because they're, I mean, not to be political about that, but they're going to put the right in a good position where basically you're a right winger if you want to stand for the national anthem. I think that's a crazy standard to be in our movement. But I mean, if that's what it takes for sports fans to, outside of their sporting pleasures, enjoy right-wing politics as well because they feel the left hates them for standing for the national anthem, so be it. So I think a good place to end it because this topic drives me nuts to no end because as a sports fan, sports fan first before politics even. It just drives me nuts that something that I've always cherished my whole life is being trashed. So going forward, kind of like with the LGBT questions, what can the right do to kind of help sports fans, not by interjecting themselves, but, well, I'll let you answer that. Should the right interject themselves or they should just keep their hands off like they've been doing?
They've been doing a really good job, I think, a lot of conservatives, of just kind of staying out of that because you see the kneeling, the flag problem, the names and whatnot, and the political issues in sports. It's drawn on by the left, and they're the ones who keep it going. They're the ones who make it a hot topic. The media, everybody, it's all over Twitter. The left kind of looks at it, criticizes it, and moves on. And so it's a thing that, again, the left are toying with this idea that politics should be involved in sports, and they're just so far off because the conservatives that love sports won't necessarily stop watching until it gets way overboard. And the liberals are heading that way, but I really don't think they'll succeed in that. I think sports, hopefully a lot of sports fans as well as athletes, will realize that they need to just step aside and do what they're paid to do, and that's play a sport.
I would have to agree. I mean, just to end it, I think if the left gets the just sports fans as a block to vote for the right, I think they'll have trouble winning a local dog catcher election, because that is, knowing sporting events, you're a college football fan, they're a lot more passionate than most pro sports teams. They're not the group to get mad. So going forward to the left, I mean, not the bone to pick. That is not the fight worth jumping in. But nevertheless, we move on. We are the Campus Conservatives, so we are going to be talking about that a little bit. You mentioned before the show that you're on a fairly conservative campus, but you've run into those leftist liberal professors that give you a hard time. Is there a certain story you have about it, or is it kind of just a general feeling?
There was only one professor that ever shocked me with their political views, and it was actually like my first or second semester in school. I was into politics, but I wasn't like too passionate about it. It was close to the election time, and I was just kind of shocked with how liberal he was. But my classroom was fairly conservative, so it was a back and forth argument, and it was an American government class. Go figure. He's literally teaching us American government. And liberal standpoint, he was basically promoting socialism actually at one point, and I almost lost it. But he was really the only professor. A lot of the professors on my campus are, I can tell they're liberal, but they don't show it in their teaching, and I think that's really awesome. My journalism, I'm actually taking a journalism course this semester, and she works for CNN. But she's
objective. Don't worry about it. Come on. Yeah.
But she's so cool. She's so chill. She's also like younger. So, you know, she's like laid back. She's so cool. You know, I saw her walk in with her lanyard and it had the CNN. She had her CNN badge on, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not going to end well. But she's so cool. She stresses on so many things that you wouldn't think a CNN reporter would stress on. So it's kind of, I can't tell if she's a Republican or a Democrat. I really can't. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. You just mentioned that at the end there. I think that just popped in my mind right now. I have to ask the question. I know from my experience, I can answer that, but I mean, we're not here to talk about me. You're the guest. So I know in my experience it helped, but in your experience, can you explain to the listeners basically why it's so good that you have a professor that hasn't given you their political ideology at all, and you basically are just learning from them without knowing where they're coming from?
It's awesome. It's very important to learn without a political stance, especially in some of the courses that I'm taking this semester. You could lean either way, but I don't have a single professor this semester that does. And they give you the history, they give you the facts, and then they move on. There's always going to be a liberal or a conservative student that questions things. And the professor kind of tries not to take a stance. I've realized that. I'm taking a civil rights course, and I've realized that she tries her very best to not take a stance on a subject. And I think that's really important for your learning, your education in general.
I mean, that's just kudos to the teacher right there, because when you really break it down, they're talking about politics for a living. They're the politics professor. So twice a week, I'm just going off my school, it might be different for yours, but just in my school, I'm thinking that's twice a week, that's 80 minutes each class for 15, 16 weeks that they have to basically go in class by about talking politics, but not injecting their own bias, their own flavor in there. And additionally, grading your pieces of writing, grading your presentations without any of that bias. So it's just really hard. We on the right love these professors, but there's a reason why they come few and far between, because it's much easier to be that dime a dozen leftist professor who just gets to interject and indoctrinate his students. But I mean, when you really think about it, it's very hard to be those objective professors, but we always treasure those because they're not only someone who could teach well. I mean, I would assume that you would feel comfortable going to her office hours and just talking maybe your career advice, talking majors, talking just life. I think that those professors are the best for that. I mean, have you felt one of your professors that way for you, or that you can just go to them and kind of just hash out all your problems and they kind of have the answers for you?
Oh yeah, a lot. Many teachers, history and political science professors at my college are very good about being open and being there for their students no matter what.
I think that's great to hear, because it's always disheartening when you hear about professors that dock students for their views. You know, you write a paper defending free markets, defending a flat tax maybe, and you just get marked down because they say you're racist, they say you're like a greedy capitalist and whatever. I haven't had to face that, so I'm just talking off stereotypes from what I've heard and stories. So it's just disheartening, because there's really nothing worse than forcing someone to think a certain way. I emphasize force, because it's got to be awful for someone to just sit in a class and know if they say something, they'll get marked down for it, so they just can't speak. If they want to speak, they just have to spit back what the professor's saying. I mean, that's just got to be the worst feeling in the world. Have you ever had to deal with that?
My American government professor, whenever
it was the same one?
Yeah, the same one from like the first or second semester. He was probably the only teacher I've ever gotten into like literal arguments with. But it was funny, actually, because the majority of the classroom were also conservative. So we had like a few liberals to the side, and then this professor telling me how much he loves Hillary Clinton because she's going to be the first woman president. And I just couldn't, like, really? Is that why you're voting for her? Okay. And, you know, it was an interesting class, to say the least.
I mean, a great comeback would have been, would you have voted for me to be the first gay president? I mean, I don't know what he would have known, but he would have been shocked either way. So I think it would have been a nice little zinger right there. But I think that those are not worth it at the end of the day, because I think your grade would have felt the brunt for that. So that's definitely not a check that your mouth would like you to cash. So moving forward, when it comes to campus, are you involved on campus in any other way? I like to ask my guests that, because with the college age kids, it's always interesting. Not that I'm older, it's just interesting to see what other college age kids have to say for their involvement, because someone like you, I feel, would be very involved on campus. Not trying to stereotype at all from your political views, but it just seems like you're one of those go-getters that would either run a club or be in a few. So is that true? Are you a member of a lot of conservative groups?
Yeah, we have a politically incorrect club. It's as dorky as it sounds, and I'm the public relations officer for that club. We do try to invite people like liberals and libertarians and conservatives to our meetings. It makes it very interesting, because we try not to come off as too conservative, you know, because we want more members. But I have debated the left club, which is the progressives, Students for a Progressive Society. Oh, it's hard to say that. I debated them on campus a few times, and we debate usually two or three times a semester, just to kind of, you know, get the topics out there in front of the entire school. Whoever wants to come can come. So it's definitely an interesting club to be a part of, because we try to invite all ideologies, but then we go and debate typically like the libertarians, or not debate the libertarians, but we speak with the libertarians as well as debate the socialist school that we have on campus, or club that we have on campus.
It's always very interesting to see who comes to like the politically correct. I mean, to me, not if you just said you were the politically incorrect club, I think it'd be more of a free speech coalition than a club that's designed to like front conservative policy. I think those are always interesting to see, because you get those people on the left who are very, very vocal about their support for free speech, which is good, because that used to be a very big hallmark of being a liberal back when they were actually liberals and not leftists, that free speech was unabashedly supported and that you really had no options for going against it. And now it just seems to be the opposite with all this hate speech stuff. So on the topic of hate speech and that ilk, are there any protests on your campus? I mean, yes, you said you were fairly conservative at one point, and I don't think you'd have a lot of protests, but They never seem to elude some campuses. Is your campus an exception to that rule, or do you have protests?
During one of our debates, we did get a few, ironically, of the LGBT community who began to badger me with pro-LGBT questions during one of the debates, ironically. And of course, I was like, sup, guys? You're asking the wrong girl. And then that's kind of like the only, like, I guess, protest, I guess. It wasn't necessarily a protest, but it was, they were speaking very outwardly towards our club. And yeah, that's pretty much it. We have a vegan group that writes don't eat meat around the campus, but that's weird.
Well, if I were to say something about that, I would have to say probably the vegan group's a little more annoying than the progressive student group, because if there was a incident on campus, I mean, the first thing that would happen with the protest would be like, I'm a vegan, I'll break up the fight, or they just have to interject that they're a vegan at some point. I mean, it's just in their vernacular that they have to begin every conversation with, I'm a vegan. I mean, they're just the most insufferable people on earth, never mind the the progressive that they most likely are too, so it's kind of a double-edged sword with them. But on campus, one thing we've been seeing a lot with Berkeley is, I want to get your thoughts on this, with Berkeley is a lot of Antifa members planning to riot, Antifa members burning down buildings and trees and shrubs at the Milo event back in spring semester of 2017. What's your take on all that? Do you think this is just an outgrowth of free speech and free expression, or do you think this is a very flagrant abuse of that First Amendment right?
I don't know if I would go to an extreme that some people have on them being a terrorist group, because I don't know if their intentions are really that severe, but they are beginning to seem like a very anti-free speech First Amendment group who just can't handle the opposite ideology's viewpoints. And it's pretty sad that a guy like Ben Shapiro cannot go to, or can, he's gone now, but they restricted him from speaking at Berkeley because of these rioters. You know, it's his First Amendment right to be able to go to college campuses with security and with the ability to talk freely on campus to those students who, of course, want to attend without his life being at jeopardy because somebody might disagree.
I think that's the whole point. I mean, personally, nothing against Ben Shapiro, but personally, it's just, I think if this never happened, the only people that would pay attention to his speech would be his fans. Like, I am a fan, so I plan on watching his speech regardless on YouTube, regardless of whether the left decided to protest it or not. That's one thing, and I think the people there would have watched it, and obviously there would have been some people on the left maybe that watched it online too, but I mean, do you think that the left has basically given this golden ticket to Ben Shapiro, basically saying now he's going to get a lot of moderates, a lot of people who haven't even heard of him before, a lot of people who don't know what his stances are to watch him? Do you think this is just a kind of like a godsend to the right where they're basically just helping prop up one of the smartest minds?
Oh, it absolutely is. You know, I mean, he has a lot of a big fan base and a lot of listeners, but there are even the leftists out there that are the more Democrat leftists out there that hate Antifa and they don't approve of what they are doing. And it gives people like Ben Shapiro the chance to voice his freedom of speech, which I think everybody in the United States can appreciate. So for, you know, a group like Antifa to come forward and be this hateful towards a freedom of speech, it gives an upper hand to all conservatives.
I think so. I think when On the Line, our other show, we talk about this. I basically say, my argument is, if the left is basically saying that everyone on the right supports free speech, and that just pushes a bunch of people into the arms of the right that typically aren't, I mean, good on them. I mean, they're just going to give us people who will eventually support our policies just because they support free speech. And I think that if that's what it's going to take, the right just being a, the party of free speech for people to come and just create a coalition of voters who are just going to go out there and say, okay, well, free speech, leave me alone. Well, leave me alone with taxes. Leave me alone with, like you, leave me alone with my social life. Leave, just, I just want to be left alone. I just want to live my life the way I want it to be lived, and I really don't want anyone to say otherwise. So just to wrap up here, I think there's been a good conversation. So Berkeley, it's a week from tonight. I'm pretty sure everyone's eyes will be trained on Berkeley. What do you expect is going to happen that night? Is there going to be fires? Do you think Ben's even going to be able to speak? Or do you think it's going to go on smoothly and Ben's just going to be able to exercise his First Amendment right the way he wants to?
I'm hoping that everything goes well for Ben, of course, and that he is safe and that his team is safe as well. I think, you know, with the pressure that not only Ben and his team have given Berkeley and the security there, but as well as just us in general, us the people, talking about how important it is that Ben goes to speak at Berkeley about this issue right now, it probably scared Berkeley a little bit. Like, we should probably definitely amp up security. We should definitely make sure that everything goes moderately smoothly, because there's definitely going to be, like, Antifa is definitely going to be there. I don't know if they'll start fires and crush some windows and stuff, but I'm hoping it does. It's like, there'll definitely be Antifa there, but the whether or not they will go to their severe lengths like they did with Milo is totally to be seen.
I agree, because never forget, right after Free Speech Week. So Free Speech Week, I mean, Milo's going to be there. Steve Bannon's going to be there. I'm pretty sure Ann Coulter is going to try again. So it's going to be very interesting to see. Two of the three major speakers were booted off. We all remember this with Ann Coulter too. No reason to go through that, because it's just another sad story that, I mean, you just can't really wrap your head around when it comes to free speech issues. But nevertheless, these events will try and go on. And I think a lot of people on the right are excited. I know Bradley, he's over here helping us a lot. He's with Daily Wire too. He's doing a lot of good work right now as basically a publicity man like you are for your club. He's that with the College Republicans. And I think that they're doing a lot of great work, because they're getting ready for a free speech fight, sadly. That's how it has to be phrased, because there's really nothing else to describe it as. And they're just ready to go for next Thursday. So best of luck to them, because this will be the show that airs right before then. So definitely looking out for that, because everyone knows that Ben Shapiro is a warrior on the right, and nothing really wrong to say about him when it comes to this, because he's going to be ready to go for a strong fight. So that's all that we're going to talk about today. It was a very good conversation. So I'm going to do a few things before we sign off. First, I'm going to give my recommendation. I did a podcast last week. This week's going to be a book. The book is Liberty Amendments by Mark Levin. This is a very good book. I recommend all conservatives should read. He lists 7 amendments that the Constitution needs to restore liberty to America. Certain ones include term limits and repealing the 17th Amendment. It's just a very, very good book. I really loved it. It was something that I read for the first time as a conservative, kind of the first book to move me into the movement, because that's really when I got into politics. And I think that it's a book that everyone should read. Everyone should go out there and buy. It's not that long of a read. It's a very easy read. So I recommend that everyone buy that. That is The Liberty Amendments by Mark Levin. And next, I have to ask you a question, Amanda. One more. Do you like pineapple pizza? It's a question I have to ask.
I absolutely do not approve of pineapple pizza.
Ooh. Okay, so that's going to have to bring our total to 4 no's and 2 yeses. You're my sixth guest. So you are the 4th one to say no. And I'm pretty sure that's the most unequivocal no I've gotten, because everyone else has given a little more of an explanation. You were very blunt. I like it. It's that blunt no that I like, because I am with you. So definitely looking for some more pro pineapple pizza people down the pike to even it out, because I know the higher ups here will not approve that. But nevertheless, that's just how it is. I agree, so it's perfect. But I can't let you go without you saying where we can find you on the internet, and are there any projects you're working on?
You can find me on Twitter at the Amanda Kemp, and I am currently trying to get an internship in DC, working with a lot of the political science professors on my campus to get that rolling, as well as a Peace for Lone Conservative that has to do with political politics and sports. I'm trying to wait till a little more drama happens, which I'm sure it will soon occur in college football. But yeah.
Well, that's really cool with the internship. My last podcast was about that. So it's definitely something Lone Conservative prides itself in, having a lot of people who are very smart, very conscientious, and making a difference in D.C. with these internships and trying to make the conservative movement even more better. And I think that it's good on you to try and get into D.C. and get some work there, because with your intelligence, you can definitely go far, because there's definitely people out there who are looking for motivated individuals like you. So before I sign off, I'd like to give my name. I'm Robert Sasso, of course. I'm on Twitter at Real Robert Sasso. Campus Conservative is on Twitter at Campus Con Show. You can find it on iTunes, Overcast, and all those other good places where podcasts are. Make sure you follow Lone Conservative at Low Conservative. And On the Line at On the Line TV. We just had two episodes with Brady Devlin of, I mentioned him earlier, of Berkeley. He talked about some major issues when it comes to that Berkeley event. So everyone go check that out. We have you filled from every story, from eating paper to cutting the security fee at Berkeley. So you don't need to miss a thing when you're with Low Conservative. So make sure you check everything out, and I hope everyone has a good day.